Welcome to the Temple of Confucius and the Imperial Academy. Many of you have just come from the Yonghe Lama Temple next door. If you have, you'll remember the incense, the crowds, the sound of prayer wheels. Now that you're standing here, something should feel different. It just got quiet. That's the first word visitors use about this place, quiet. The Lama Temple and this site are only one street apart, but they feel like two different worlds. Over there, emperors prayed to the Buddha. The atmosphere was meant to be intense and devotional. Over here, the empire chose its civil servants. The atmosphere was meant to be exactly this kind of quiet. That quiet has been here for over 700 years without a break. Why is this place worth a stop? Let me first tell you who its master is. This temple was built for one man, Confucius. Born in 551 BCE in what is today Shandong Province, he died in 479 BCE at the age of 73. The most important thing he did in his life, he opened a school. Before him, education in China was a privilege of the aristocracy. He was the first person to open it to commoners. He is said to have had 3,000 students and 72 outstanding disciples. If you're visiting from outside China, here's a way to place him. The 20th century German philosopher Karl Jaspers coined a concept called the Axial Age. He observed that human history once contained a single period when several civilization-shaping thinkers appeared across the globe at roughly the same time. Four of them stand out: Confucius, Socrates, the Buddha, and Jesus. Of these four, Confucius and Socrates were born less than a century apart. Two centuries after Confucius died, Emperor Wu of the Han Dynasty made Confucian thought the official ideology of the state. From that year on, Confucius, the wandering teacher, became China's national spiritual leader.
For the next 2,000 years, dynasties came and went. China's state ideology, its family ethics, its education system, its method of choosing officials, all of it developed around a few principles laid down by this one man. Eight characters of his teaching are still quoted today by the United Nations as a foundational principle of its global ethic. The translation: do not impose on others what you do not wish for yourself. During the European Enlightenment of the 18th century, Voltaire and Leibniz both drew on Confucian thought in their work. The entire Sinosphere of East Asia took Confucius as its teacher. China, Japan, the Korean Peninsula, Vietnam, and the Ryukyu Islands. His influence is most tangible right here in this one courtyard. Any exam today that keeps a student up at night or makes a parent anxious has its earliest origins in a place like this. China was the first large state in the world to select its officials by competitive examination. The system later influenced many other countries. It ran here for 1,300 years. A few steps ahead, you'll see two long rows of stone stelae on the east and west sides, 198 stelae in total. Three from the Yuan Dynasty, 77 from the Ming, 118 from the Qing. Carved into them are 51,624 names. These are everyone who passed the highest level of the imperial exam over a 700-year span. Across the entire Ming and Qing dynasties combined, fewer than 25,000 people were chosen in over 500 years. To get your name on one of these stones was called succeeding on the golden roster. The gold of the roster is right here. Many of these men studied for 30 years to get their name on a stone. Most spent a lifetime trying and never made it. As you walk past, see if you can find a name that caught a moment of history. Yu Chen, Lin Zexu, Li Hengzhang, and others. All of them are among the 50,000 plus carved here.
This place is still alive today. Many Beijing schools include it on their study tour routes. Year-round, you'll see groups of school children brought here. The reason is simple. The Chinese obsession with education traces straight back to this courtyard. As we walk, please notice three things. First, this field of stelae. When we get there, take a look at the names. Second, several ancient cypresses. The oldest is over 700 years old, planted by hand by Xu Heng, the first principal of the Imperial Academy in the Yuan Dynasty. A few of the old employees in this courtyard are older than the earliest ancestor most family genealogies can trace. Third, the Biyang Hall on the west side, inside the Imperial Academy. It is the only palace in the world built specifically for an emperor to lecture students in. Five emperors personally taught there: Qianlong, Jia King, Dao Guang, Xianfeng, and Guangxu. The last lecture was in 1904. The next year, the court abolished the imperial exam system, ending 1,300 years of examinations. What was taught there, why the emperor delivered the lecture, and why this hall is the only one ever built in 3,000 years, we'll come back to all of it. The full route takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours. We'll see the Temple of Confucius first, then cross through the Qijing Gate into the Imperial Academy. Let's go! We start at the Wall of Stelae just ahead.